Well, I guess we could call the Tennessee Titans week three game in Cleveland a throwback. It was reminiscent of way back in week one when the offensive line had a hard time blocking anybody, which meant Derrick Henry didn't have room to run, which meant Ryan Tannehill didn't have time to stand in the pocket, force the ball down the field, which means the offense didn't score any touchdowns. And the result was a 27-3 defeat that demoralized a lot of people on the outside of the building. Inside, of course, they are talking about regrouping and just moving forward as you have to do. But at 1-2, I guess you could say the good news for the Titans is they're tied for second place in the AFC South with two other teams. One game behind the mighty, mighty Indianapolis Colts. Who saw that coming? Of course, the Titans are also tied for last, if you want to look at it that way. But they have allowed the fewest points in the division. They've also scored the fewest points in the division as they look forward to their second home game of the season, this one against the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday. So let's get into this episode of the Believe in Titans podcast and dive into where this team stands now, 3 weeks into this season with the with our usual panel. Former Titans cornerback Denard Walker. Denard, good evening, sir.
Good evening, David. How you doing?
I am great. I am David Beauclair, of course. And then there's John Glennon of the Nashville Post. John Glennon, how are you, sir?
I am well. I hope you guys are as well.
Let's start with you, Denard. How surprisingly bad was that performance on Saturday? I mean, how much more did you expect from the Titans after that showing against the Chargers in week two?
Where do you want me to start?
You know, what was the worst part for you? What did you see that they couldn't get done?
Well, God, where do you start? I mean, coming into this game, I looked at the Pittsburgh game, as we were talking early before the podcast, against the Browns, and I was like, you know what? When you look at the Browns' offensive line, they gave up six sacks against Pittsburgh, and pretty much Deshaun Watson looked terrible that game. And I'm thinking, okay, the defense is going to dominate that unit. And then when you look offensively for Cleveland, when you look at the fact that they lost arguably their best player, the Nick Chubb, I said, okay, I'm going to give Titans the edge, and man, was I wrong. Offensive line Sunday played abysmal is a nice word to put it. When you give up five sacks, and what was interesting, David, is Myles Garrett, who's a monster, coming into this game, he had zero sacks. So I'm thinking to myself, well, maybe this is going to be kind of an off year, or maybe the next 6 weeks until he gets hot. And Sunday, David, he got hot, and that was the problem for our offense Sunday.
Yeah, it's funny. He had 3.5 sacks, and it felt like more. It felt like he was living in the Titans' backfield. I mean, he's third in the NFL in sacks now after three games. Had one in the first 2 weeks, and now threw up 3.5 in this one. I guess should put people on alert that also in the top 10 is Cincinnati's Trey Hendrickson, who will be in town this week. John, we'll get into the offensive line a little bit more. Beyond the offensive line, what else was wrong that you noticed particularly on Sunday?
To me, it was almost like a battle of which could be worse for the Titans. Was it the offensive line or was it the secondary? And I would guess you could say the offensive line, but it was a close call because I thought that secondary was pretty bad. Also, we saw a number of kind of screw-ups in the backfield. We saw several, multiple, I want to say four or five penalties on the defensive backs. We saw another, a group cluster of X plays. I want to say four pass plays of 20 yards or more. And again, this is coming against the Deshaun Watson that, as we just talked about, looked so bad the previous week against Pittsburgh, but there's something apparently about the Titans uniforms that when Deshaun Watson sees them, the eyes light up and he starts racking up completions after completions. But yeah, I just thought that the DBs were very poor, and you know, probably the biggest illustration of that came on that last touchdown pass, you know, by the Browns and Deshaun Watson. Amari Cooper just runs down the field. Neither Christian Fulton or Amani Hooker choose to cover him, and Deshaun Watson throws to him for about a 40-yard TD pass. You know, and it turns out, as Mike Vrabel would say later, that it was Christian Fulton's responsibility. But that kind of, you know, was to me was, as I say, an illustration of how things bad were how bad things were for the secondary, you know, and as we mentioned, also for the offensive line.
Yeah, Fulton is not the player that at least thus far this season that the Titans anticipated him being, and we might talk about that too. But you know, it's hard to fathom the struggles that the secondary is having because they're getting help up front. The Titans are one of nine teams in the NFL with at least double digit sacks right now. They have 10 through the first three games. I mean, that's a good number, and historically, if your pass rush is getting home, you have a good secondary because those guys don't have as much to do. But you're not seeing that correlation with this bunch right now, and it's tough to understand. I mean, Denard, you know as well as anybody what a good pass rush can do for defensive backs. Why isn't that working, do you think?
Well, first of all, it starts with this defense. And if you're Shane Bowen right now, you know that your Achilles heel is your secondary. We haven't heard much from the leaders. You're talking about Kevin Byard. He's been quiet the last 3 weeks. Amani Hooker, this was glad to get him back Sunday, but he was ineffective. Your cornerbacks, if you look at the game against the Saints, Sean Murphy bunt and give it up the long touchdown pass. And then Sunday, Christian Fulton coming back. We thought, okay, this is going to be an added addition. This Titans team, they're about to gel. They looked horrible, in particular, Christian Fulton. We know that this was his first game back after an injury with his hamstring. He looked like it. I hate to call him out because he is that's my soul brother from
Yeah.
LSU. But he looked terrible, Dave. He just didn't. When you talk about the play on the, what was it? It was second and 26 in the first quarter. And if you're a defensive back and if you're playing man-to-man, David, you know how you play that. You're supposed to play soft. And what I mean is that what you want to do is you want to give up everything underneath, but you don't want to get beat over the top. He got beat over the top in a second and 26, and that is unacceptable. And that ended up leading to what, 3 points by Cleveland in the first half. And if you think about it, the second play where they end up getting him on was the play by Amari Cooper. He was turned around completely. It was bad coverage on his part. I don't know if it was just rust. I don't know what it was this game, but Christian was a non-factor. And if this team is going to get better, if that unit is going to get, if they're going to get better, he's got to play better. He's their number one corner. They're expecting a lot out of Christian Fulton this year. And right now, it's been disappointing. You're talking about he's already missed the game with a hamstring injury. That was an issue last year. And Mike Vrabel called him out this past offseason. And now he's giving up plays, which you do not expect a corner that is coming up on a contract. I mean, they're thinking contract extension right now. And right now, he's not playing up to par.
His Pro Football Focus grade for the two games he's played is a whopping 39.8. You know, that's not the kind of thing that's going to get you a big contract. And we should point out, you mentioned the hamstring injury. The first injury report of this week is out. Listed this week with a hamstring injury is Elijah Molden, who, oh, by the way, missed virtually all of last season with a hamstring injury. So here we go again with that, you know, and Molden is probably the most versatile guy. I guess maybe you can say, I guess maybe Amani Hooker is maybe more versatile, but he's in that neighborhood. You know, when you're looking for solutions, you know, guys who can do different things like Molden can is a guy you would think would be in the mix. And if he's hurting now too, that's not going to make anything that's not going to make anything better. And that, you know, I thought the moment of the game Sunday really was the last play of the first half when, the Titans, the likelihood of them getting points on the board before halftime were pretty slim when they've got it, when they're, or excuse me, they've got a third and 10 and at the Cleveland 11, they're trying to get one more playoff and maybe a touchdown, if not something incomplete. You get a field goal, you get points on the board, and Ryan Tannehill gets sacked for 9 yards. They've got no timeouts. They can't stop the clock. And Mike Vrabel's face as he was walking off the field to the locker room at halftime, I thought was really telling at that point that he just looked like a guy who knew there weren't going to be any answers on that particular day. And that we mentioned the Titans have gotten home with 10 sacks, but the Titans offensive line has surrendered 13 sacks to this point, which is tied for second most allowed in the NFL. Peter Skoronski probably not going to be back again this week, still coming back from the appendix. And John, I guess early indications are that no personnel changes are in store. They're going to roll with Dillard, Radins, Brewer, Brunskill, and Hubbard as they have the last couple of weeks. Is that the right move? If should they be looking at something, and if so, what do you think they should be looking at up front there to do differently?
Yeah, you certainly have to be thinking of it anytime, you've given up 13 sacks in 3 games. It's tied for the second most in the NFL, and you're looking at Andre Dillard, the beleaguered left tackle, who's given up 6 of those sacks, which is twice as much as any other tackle in the league. There's clearly issues. But honestly, I don't know, given the personnel they have right now, I don't know if I would immediately make a change. If there is, I guess there's a couple options. One is move Radins from left guard where he started last week. You move him out to left tackle because he played that in college. But that was a long time ago, though. He hasn't played left tackle in the pros since the one game in 2021. And then if you do move him out there, you're still wondering what are you going to do at left guard? Is Dillard moving in there, since Skoronski is still out, or it's 4-11 or someone like that. So I'm not sure that's the answer. And then they activated or they promoted Justin Murray, offensive lineman, from the practice squad to the 53 this week. But really, if you look at his background, he's almost all on the right side. He's almost all right guard, right tackle. So I don't know if he is necessarily an answer to the left tackle problem at this point now. So as things stand now, without Skoronski and then without Nicholas Petitfrere as an option to move things around also, I don't know. I think you hope for the best and you give Andre Dillard as much help as you can, with running backs, with tight ends, et cetera. Because I just don't see a magic solution with the personnel they have right now.
Yeah, Mike Vrabel talked about the promotion of Justin Murray from the practice squad, and talked about him as a swing tackle. That guy that we've seen throughout the Titans' time here, going back to a Jason Matthews, for example, more recently a guy like Ty Sambrio, who could come in and play either side. And I guess they feel like if things start going really south again against the Bengals, then maybe you put him in there and at either side, presumably the left side, which is where you're having the most problems right now, and just try something different. It should be noted too, I thought this was funny. We're recording this on Wednesday. Taylor Lewan apparently tweeted out today a picture of himself in his Titans uniform from a game, with a pass set. It offered without comment, but presumably, I guess he's saying, "Look, I can do a better job than this guy at this point." Denard is, the question with Andre Dillard was, why wasn't the guy a starter in 4 years with the Philadelphia Eagles? And can he be the guy who the Eagles saw as a first round draft pick when they selected him? Have you seen enough? I mean, Joe Namath says Zach, well, he's seen enough of Zach Wilson that he's no good. The Jets need to do something different at quarterback. Have you seen enough of Andre Dillard at this point to say the Titans need to do something different at left tackle, or are you willing to give him some more time?
Give him some more time, David. I'm not ready to give up on the young man. Let's not forget he was the 27th pick in the 2019 draft. Now, remember when Philly drafted him, they called him the best offensive tackle in that class that year. So that's high praises. Let's not forget that when he was in Philadelphia, now he had a lot of injuries, okay, that he sustained. That was an issue staying on the field and staying healthy. And then they went out and got the big man Mulata, and that didn't make matters any better. But what I love about Andre, now you got to understand, he has to understand that in this league, he got a 3-year, $29 million deal. So I was talking about this situation this past offseason. He has to start. They're not going to pay anybody that type of money and bring him in to be a backup. Either you're going to start or they're going to just release you. And what I love about his upside, he's 6'5". Now, John and David, I thought this was very classy of Myles Garrett that after the game, he gave Andre some constructive criticism. I think that was very, very intelligent, very smart. And when you can take that from a veteran, and what he was telling Andre was what he was doing wrong. So that's going to help his game. And I love what Andre did. He took that teaching and he said, I love what he said. He said that I think I just need to do better with my hands and my sets. And he says, I got a lot of input from Myles Garrett. So you imagine when you take that from another player that saw your weaknesses, you can go back and practice. And then what you can do is you can work on that during the week. I think he's going to get better. I don't want to give up on a player when he's young and he's got a lot of what I call up. He's got a lot of talent. And I feel like he can be a great asset. But right now, he's struggling. And what you're going to have to do when you're the offensive line coach for the Tennessee Titans is that he's got to get those extra reps. That means after practice and before practice, and just work on the mechanics. And if you work on the mechanics, David and John, you'll be amazing. You can turn your season around and your performance and your play.
And let's give credit where credit is due. He has not been a complete disaster. Now he is the 68th ranked tackle in the NFL according to Pro Football Focus grades right now. But his run blocking grade is actually pretty solid at 75.7, which is well above his pass blocking grade, and actually puts him in the top 10 run blocking tackles in the league. It's pass blocking where he is having the problem, and his grade there is a 36.1. Obviously you have to be better. Left tackle is not necessarily what it used to be in terms of, oh, you're just protecting the guy's blind side, and you've got to be stout. The game has changed a little bit, but it's still that there is that truth to it. You've got a right-handed quarterback in there. He can't always see the rush coming from that side. You have to be able to hold up out there, and he certainly has not done it well enough, often enough through 3 games for the Titans to get things done. John, you mentioned Nicholas Petit-Frere earlier. Do we expect when Petit-Frere comes back, which we're only halfway through his suspension at this point, do you suspect him to slot right in at right tackle, or could he be a potential left tackle if Dillard's struggles continue to this degree?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because of certainly Petit-Frere, did play left tackle in college at Ohio State his last year there. So he's got that experience, and it's not that far in the background either, as this is only his second year in the NFL. So it's something you wouldn't want to consider because you have trained Nicholas Petit-Frere as a right tackle. Ideally, I think the Titans would like to keep him there. But yeah, if after 6 games, which also coincides with a bye week, maybe a little extra day or two of work, for the Titans, that the opportunity to make some changes. If things are going horribly at that point, I think they might think about at least think about something like that, because honestly, I'm not sure that he comes right back in, even if they keep him at right tackle. Sure, he comes right back in and takes his job away from Chris Hubbard. It's been pretty solid, kind of a surprise at what Chris Hubbard has done so far. And I'm not sure that NPF is immediately the starter at that tackle spot. But getting back to the left tackle, I think, again, and this is maybe after six games or so, if things are going horribly, you've got that bye week, and then you say, okay, we want to make some changes, maybe that's the time for Peter Skoronski, who would presumably be back, a game or two maybe under his belt. This is a guy we know who's an All-American left tackle in college. The Titans drafted him and pretty much immediately said, you're a guard, and that's that. But it's not that far in his background, the left tackle, and maybe that's the move, after 6 weeks or so, if things are going the way they are right now, to try Skoronski out there, and then, you'll see what you do at left guard, whether you keep Radins there, whether you move Dillard inside, something along those lines. But that might be the top priority down the line, I would think.
Do you think Denard it has hurt Dillard that not having Skoronski there at left guard? I mean, we talk all the time about offensive line continuity and the group of five being together as much as possible, and largely this group of five was together throughout training camp and a little bit of the preseason. They looked good in the preseason. To lose Skoronski after one game, could that be a major factor in what's going on with Dillard right now?
No, I don't think that's the issue, because this is an issue that, from what I've been reading up on, he had issues in training camp when it comes to pass coverage. John just alluded to the fact that he's a monster when you talk about in the run game. It's when you come to pass protection that he struggles. And I don't think that has anything to do with it. I just think right now he's just trying to, he's trying to find his, trying to find really what he's about at that position. It's tough, David. I mean, it's a lot. When you play that tackle position, that's the toughest position on that offensive line to play, especially you protecting your quarterback's blind side. But right now, I mean, this offensive line, I mean, it's a makeshift offensive line. You're talking about coming into this year, you only had one starter back. Well, two, but your one starter's out with Nicholas Petit-Frere with suspension. Aaron Brewer is the only one that brings experience to this offensive line. So right now, this is a line that they're trying to find out who they are right now. And so even when Peter Skoronski comes back and when Nicholas Petit-Frere comes back, it's going to add a lot more protection, but they're still trying to find out, where does everybody fit in? I agree with you, John. I think Peter Skoronski going to left tackle would be it'd be a great addition, because you can't get any worse than the way that you're playing right now.
Yeah, it's and we mentioned Taylor Lewan seemingly offering his services. We should note also that another former Titans tackle is also available as of this week. If anyone's interested, Isaiah Wilson's most recent NFL
Oh,
suspension
Lord
has
help
ended.
us.
I had Denard on the edge of his seat there,
I
people. You
thought you were
should
going to say B-Hop, Brad Hopkins or somebody. No, no, not, no. He's gone. No way.
Isaiah
We ain't going
Wilson,
through that another year. No
his
way.
most recent suspension is lifted, so he is available to any NFL team that might want him. And goodness only knows what that young man is up to right now, both in terms of his activities, his weight. I don't get the sense that he's the type of guy who has just been living in the gym waiting for his next opportunity. So yeah, there are obviously no quick fixes. There's no there's no simple solution. They just have to play better as a unit and give their quarterback and running back time to do what they do. I want to go back to I want to go back to Christian Fulton a little bit, Denard. You were talking about him, and I mean, this is a guy, this is a remarkable stat that when opposing quarterbacks have thrown his way this season, there are Their combined rating is a perfect 158.3. You know, when a guy Denard is designated as a number one cornerback, what does that mean to the defense? Like what are they counting on him specifically to do week to week?
To do his job, David. That's a misconception. There's no such thing as a number one cornerback in this league. If you're on that field, regardless of where you're drafted, you are a number one quarterback when you are plugged into that lineup and when you're playing. Right now, what you have is a defensive back that when he was drafted just a few years ago, we said he was a second-round pick with first-round talent, and that hasn't showed. Last year, we gave him a pass because of his hamstring issues, and now it seems to be something that has lingered on, and that is unacceptable because when you're a pro, you need to figure that out by now. What is happening is when you watch Christian Sunday, and I watched him closely, I talked about the second and 26. When you're a cornerback, David, the first thing that you always that's ingrained in you is to eliminate the explosive plays. Contest everything underneath, but do not give up anything over the top because that's what gets you beat in this league. When you give up a second and 26 and you are a stud corner, and you think about how many times have you seen great corners give up plays like that, David?
Yeah, everybody gets beat, but
everybody gets beat, but not like that.
Not a lot, yes.
And exactly. Then you're talking about the play to Amari Cooper. I looked at those two plays and I said his game is off because he was completely turned around. So what happens is when you're coming back from an injury, I don't know if you're still dealing with that injury. Maybe you're a tad slow or you've lost some confidence. I mean, that happens too. I don't care how long you've been playing. Sometimes your confidence is shot. So Christian, once again, he's going to have to find his way because if not, they're going to have to make a move. I mean, we haven't talked nothing about Roger McCreary. The issue I had coming to this league, you last year, this was your most consistent cornerback, started all 17 games. He held his own, and the only issues we had last year was his arms. And when that's you, David. But again, we have – and why is it he in the game more? I don't understand. You got your starting corner from last year, and he's not playing.
Well, he's playing. He's playing in the slot, and he played. He played the game before when Fulton was out. He seems a little more confident. He seems to be playing a little quicker. And John, I think to Denard's point, the last couple of years, the issue has been Fulton's health. But when Fulton has been out there, he's played well. That's not the case this year, correct?
Absolutely correct. Yeah, you mentioned the quarterback rating, the perfect quarterback rating. He's been targeted 8 times, 7 completions for 165 yards, which means the average catch against Christian Fulton has been 23.8 yards per catch. That's just frightening. I think it's a combination of things too. If I had to sort of guess at it, you know, as Denard touched on, I think there's still probably part of it that is physical, you know, because he did have that hamstring that bothered him, you know, all of last year. He spent the entire offseason, you know, with a personal trainer working on that very issue. And here what happens in that first week, you know, he strains the hamstring again and misses a game. And even though he's back, you still have to wonder, is that maybe a little bit in the back of his mind? So I wonder if it's a little bit physical, but then I think that there's part of it that's mental too. You know, he just, the focus just doesn't seem to be there all the time. You know, we saw the play to Rashid Shaheed that sealed the game for the Saints there, you know, where he had the sort of the double move. And you know, as Mike Vrabel pointed out afterwards, you know, you've got to realize who you're lining up against, you know, and this guy, he's just a rookie, but he's a speedster. Yet you have to respect that, even though you're trying to get the ball back, you're trying to get him off the field. You have to realize that that's an option. And, you know, he gets burned on that. You know, we see the play that we've already talked about where Amari Cooper just runs right down in between Christian Fulton and Imani Hooker. And it turns out Christian Fulton was the guy and just basically had a mental lapse, thought they were in a different coverage apparently than they were. So there's a focus issue there at times with Christian Fulton that needs to be fixed. He did, and then Mike Vrabel mentioned this today, and I actually agree with him. There were some plays early in the game that Christian Fulton, he came up, he made some aggressive tackles. There's a play or two where you said, "Oh, okay, maybe Christian Fulton's getting back into it, into his game." But yeah, the mental consistency, I think the focus has to be much better, because you're just not going to make it long giving up all those receptions and giving up those kinds of penalties. There was another penalty in addition to that second and 26 that he gave up, a PI. There was a hold on a second and 11 that gave the Browns a first down too. So a lot of things that Christian Fulton needs to clear up, and it's going to be a pretty big challenge going against the Cincinnati Bengals, by the
I
way,
was going to say,
next week.
you set it up perfectly. Here come the Bengals, a team against which Mike Vrabel, as head coach of the Titans, is 0-3. Of course, in 2020, the Titans lost up at Cincinnati. It was the Bengals' only victory in an 8-game stretch early that season. They were looking like a terrible team at that point, but managed to get by the Titans. Then, of course, there was the play, or excuse me, that was yeah. And then there was the playoff game in 2021, which broke every Titans fan's heart. We talked about the struggles with the offensive line. The Bengals, I mentioned, have Trey Hendrickson, one of the league leaders in sacks right now. We've talked about the struggles with the secondary. They've got a wide receiver group of Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, Tyler Boyd. It looks like a terrible matchup for a team that the Titans seem to have problems with anyway. Denard, how hard is it going to be for the secondary to get right against this particular receiver group?
Oh, it's not going to be hard at all. I don't think they have to do is look at recent history. I mean, this team has torched the last few years. And this, you know what, David, this is two teams that are trying to get back on track. Both teams are, Cincinnati's coming in, they're 1-2. They had a great performance against LA Sunday. They absolutely made Matthew Stafford's day just absolutely horrible. And this defense, they're good. Their defense is amazing. You talk about Hendrickson, but you look at their secondary, they're solid against the pass. I mean, they've got some studs back there. And what's scary about this game is the fact that when you look at their receiving core of Tyler Boyd and T. Higgins, they haven't really gotten on track. And the reason for that is because Joe Burrow is still banged up. And let's not forget, he's nursing, what is it, a bad calf? And then not to mention, when you look at him on film, I've been watching Joe. If you look at his mannerism, you can tell there's something wrong with him. So they haven't been able to get on track because of Joe's health. So if I'm Tennessee this week, you got to make sure that you keep that receiving core in check. Joe Mixon in the running game, it hasn't gotten off. I think they're averaging right about, what, 55 yards rushing a game. So that's, and you think about the Titans' defensive line, they should be able to neutralize that because the Titans have done a great job when it comes to stopping the Bengals' running game. So again, if you're the secondary this week, I'm sure you're going to be called out because you got some pretty big shoes to fill when you're talking about going against this trio of Boyd, Higgins, and unfortunately, a guy by the name of Chase.
And then of course I didn't mention too, the Bengals came back into Nashville last November and won a low scoring game 20 to 16. It's John, as you look at this matchup, is there any X factor that could play in the Titans' favor here and give some folks hope coming off of this performance against Cleveland?
Boy, well, I guess really, if you look simply at a simple fact of how the Titans have fared at home versus on the road so far this year, we've obviously seen them play their best game of the season at home, and in fact, that's the only game they've scored a touchdown, and they scored three of them in that game. You would have to think too, at some point the Titans' running game gets going a little bit, Right? You know, whether that's Henry or Spears, you know, you would have to think there's a little bit more than, you know, maybe a lot more than what we've shown. So they've shown so far. So maybe that kicks in. But yeah, this is, you know, it's hard to find good reasons to believe in the Titans this week. When you look at the numbers, you mentioned the Bengals have had their number lately. You know, and everybody talks about Ja'Marr Chase, but I was looking at T. Higgins' numbers versus the Titans. The last 3 games, 19 catches, 270 yards. So that's a 14-yard average and a touchdown. So he's been pretty incredible. But you know, Joe, maybe the other factor is again, if Joe Burrow isn't quite as mobile, you know, as he has been, that should help. If he's not throwing downfield as much as he has been because of the calf, maybe that helps as well. But on paper, boy, it still looks like a pretty tough matchup for the Titans.
Yeah, the only thing is, if you go back to week one, Cleveland ran the ball 40 times for 206 yards against the Bengals. And to your point, if the running game gets going, you know, Derrick Henry and Nick Chubb are comparable backs. If Henry can do to that Cincinnati defense some of what Chubb did to them, you keep the ball out of Cincinnati's offense's hands, then yes, maybe you shorten the game and you have a chance to win it late. But certainly the things we have discussed tonight have to be better. They have to be significantly better. Certainly the offensive line played better against the Chargers. We saw what happened there. The secondary played well enough that the pass rush got home at opportune times against the Chargers. If you just do that much, you'll get there in the key plays, the third downs, or if the game's on the line in the fourth quarter, then you know, then maybe you can make it happen again. But we will see, and we will be back next week to talk about it on the Believe in Titans podcast.